It is indeed a privilege to be here. I'm thankful for the invitation to be here and be around you good folks. If you have a job or had a job, you spend a lot of time around a lot of dead folks, dead in trespasses and sin. And it's just good to get together with people who are alive, who have an agreement. We know the same God. That's just a wonderful blessing that God extends to us on this earth, is to go to church and be with folks that know something about God. I'm so thankful to be here, and I would that you would remember us out in Oregon. They send their greetings. Would you join me in the book of Matthew tonight? The book of Matthew, chapter 17. I've been so blessed as the Lord continues to reveal the glory of His salvation all through the Scriptures. In every place we go, we're going to find the glory of His salvation. That wonderful statement by Jonah sums up the entirety of our Bible. Salvation is of the Lord. That's the sum and total. If we had one verse of Scripture that we had, that would be it. Salvation is of the Lord. And here in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew tonight, I'd like to begin with verse 14. We have in this chapter that the continuing message, the continuing ministry, the continuing acts of the Lord Jesus Christ that had been set down in the council halls of eternity before the world began. Not one step did He ever take that was not predetermined. There was not one word He ever spoke that He did not have before the foundation of the world. He came here on purpose to do a purposeful work. And in these passages of Scripture that we are able to visit through reading the Bible and hearing them preached unto us, He is sharing us the wonderful message of God's grace in Christ Jesus to a people that have no desire and no desert for it, and yet He is pleased to show mercy to all those He had written down by His Father in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. He is interested in going to those folks, and we find that throughout the Scriptures. Here we find in this passage of Scripture, there is a father that comes to the Lord Jesus with a great plea. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14, the Scriptures share this. And when they were come to the multitude, there came a certain man, kneeling down to Him and saying, by divine appointment, one more time, the Lord and this man are on a course to meet because God Almighty has determined that that would happen. Just like it happens to today, if you ever get to hear the gospel, it has been on purpose. And He has purposed to cross our paths with the glorious good news and not with some candy corn. We find that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing that God uses to save us from our sins. We must hear the truth of the gospel. And here He is dealing with a person on purpose, and that is a certain man. We don't know his name. We are going to find out that his son has a problem. And this man, before he was drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, also had a problem, just like everybody that is ever born into this world has a problem. And that problem is brought on by the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden, and He has passed that on to us. We have that imputed sin to us, and we are children that are born of sin, and we have a problem. And that's what we see around us all over the world and around the world. The other day, visiting with a young man, and he was just saying that the problem in this certain situation was all of the devil. And I just said, let's take a look at natural man's heart, and you have the problem. There it is. Well, here is a man that comes down. He's in a multitude. He comes down, and he knows there is a place for him to come with the problem that he has about his son. This certain man came, kneeling down to him and saying, Now, we have someone here that knows something about who he's going to talk to. We have someone here that knows something about who this one is that he's approaching. We have someone here that recognizes the fact that this man is the master. And this man is the only one that can help him with the problem that he has and the problem that his son has. And that is God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he bows it before him and gives him all due respect and honor and praise. And there is no thought in his mind, I'm going to demand something of God. By his mercy and by his grace, he may give it. But that is all. And in there it tells us in verse 15, Lord. What a wonderful statement. What a wonderful word we find in this verse of scripture about the relationship that this man had with this man. This man, Emmanuel, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, had no sin in him or on him at this time. And we find that the sin that was given to him was imputed to him on the cross. But here we have the perfect, magnificent Son of God. And this man comes to him realizing that there is only one place that he can get help, and that is this man. He bowed before him, cried, Lord, have mercy on my son. This is a parent's prayer. Lord, have mercy on my children. This is the prayer of God's people. It wasn't until God saved me and I got to be around some sovereign grace preachers that I found a bunch of preachers that had children that weren't saved. In the religion I was in, if you didn't have your children saved by 3 years of age, you weren't being very profitable. But here we find among God's people is the truth of the matter that salvation is of the Lord. And God must do the work, just like we see it portrayed here in this wonderful example of what God does for his people. This man came down and he recognized the fact that he is Lord, and he gives us the problem as it is identified by this man. He said, have mercy on my son, and here is the problem. He is a lunatic. Can you imagine a dad coming to Almighty God and describing his son, not with high regard, not with promotions, not with statistics, not with master's degrees, and he's been good all his life. He came to him with the issue. He was honest with the Lord. He brought it to his feet, and he said, my son has a problem. He's a lunatic. We have a serious problem here. My son is a lunatic. He's a lunatic. And besides that, he is sore vexed. Oh, it plays out in so many ways in this young man's life. Not only is he declared and described as a lunatic, but he is sore vexed. And then his father goes on and describes some of the problems that this young man has in his life as a result of being sore vexed by this lunacy. You know, for years, at the time of the writing of the translation of the King James, people thought that people became lunatics because they were out in the moonlight. That's why we get the word lunatic. Well, that's not the reason people have this problem. The problem is sin. There's the sum and substance of the problem. He says he's a lunatic and he's sore vexed. And here is how he is sore vexed. Here's the results of his quote-unquote illness. He is sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire. Can you imagine that? And oft times into the water. Well, what's being described here is a young man that has a problem. And this problem is so serious that he can't control it. He has no ability to bring it under harness, under control. He is one that is a child of Adam. And just like you and I, we have no ability in ourselves of taking care of this problem. That's the problem with religion. They think that they can get us better, that psychologists get us better, but we can't get any better. We're going to have problems all our life unless this master comes and meets us where we are and deals with the problem for us. And this problem is going to be dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ, and this son hasn't even consented to it. He's going to deal with it. The Lord's going to deal with it. He's the Lord. He's the master. He's the sovereign. He's the king. He's the one in charge. He's the one that has set up this appointment. He has set up this appointment before the foundation of the world, and he has set it up in his schedule that I'm going to deal with this man's son who is a lunatic, who is sore vexed and has problems, and it's uncontrollable problems because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That word desperately means incurable. There isn't a cure for it. In this life, in this world, there's only a cure in the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, we go on here. Lord, have mercy on my son. Have mercy. I don't deserve it. I really can't demand it. Mercy is something God gives. Have mercy on my son, because he is sore vexed. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. That's a message to me as a pastor. That is a message to Bible class teachers. That's a message to parents. That's a message to anybody that knows anything about Almighty God. I took them to my son, I took him to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything for him. The only thing that you and I can do is preach the gospel, and that's as far as we can go. We can't do anything beyond that. This man has a son who has a problem, and it's going to take the mercy of God, and the disciples couldn't take care of it. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. And we also find that the disciples at one time were given some liberty to go out and do some healing and cast out demons. And they came back rejoicing in that. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to his very disciples who knew something, don't you rejoice in these things, but rejoice that your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. Rejoice in grace. Rejoice in mercy. Rejoice in what God does. Don't rejoice in what you do. And here is a sign to us, a telltale sign about this, that the disciples could do nothing for this young man. They had pity for him. They had concern for him. No doubt they even said, I wish. But beyond that, there was nothing they could do. And this man was led by the Spirit of God to come to somebody who could do something about it. And that was, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at this man, this young man, a good day as this son could have, he still had that problem. You know, there might be a day he didn't get into the fire. There might be a day that he didn't fall into the water. Maybe he didn't even fall out of bed that day. It was a good day for him. But you know what? He still had the problem. And as good a day as a lost person can have, we're still lost. Got our health, we're still lost. Caught a good fish, we're still lost. Had traveling mercies, still lost. But now let's see what happens here in this account of this man that brought his son to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it tells us there in verse 17, and I'm inclined to believe that he's speaking to the crowd that's around there, because they're just wondering, what's going on here? You're interrupting a good time that we're having. This man has interrupted us. That's just the world when the gospel is being preached. They says, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither. Now the disciples understood eventually, and you and I that know anything about God understand that if we have anything given to us with the truth and meaning out of this book, it's a gift of God. We do not appropriate it by study, but don't quit studying. But everything that we have ever got about God is a gift. And it's been revealed to us. And we can't brag on it. It's God's gift to his people. And some people have a lot more revealed to them than other people. And yet in the church, we are instructed, and God knows to instruct us this, we're not jealous over it. We're not jealous in any gift. There's some men here that can preach the gospel a whole lot better than I can preach, but they can't preach a better gospel than I can preach. They have words, God has given them gifts, but you know what? I'm going to get to sit in their presence and hear the blessed gospel from their mouths as God gives them the utterance. So this disciples understood what he's talking about, that this gift, anything that's given, we're faithless without the faith giver. We have no way of even walking straight in a spiritual way unless he directs us. We're just sinners saved by grace. And here, the disciples, they can't do anything for him, and yet they understand that anything they have and anything that's going to happen here and anything that's going to be pleasing to God is going to be as a result of the Master himself. Well, he goes on here and says, and Jesus... Now, it's interesting that we find the man calls him Lord. And the writer of the scripture says he's Jesus. And guess what? That's the same. Emmanuel, God with us. Same one. Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus rebuked the devil. And he departed out of him. And the child was cured that very hour. There's a multitude of spiritual blessings in just a few words, isn't there? Jesus rebuked. Now, Jesus is the only one that can take care of our sin. Jesus is the only one that can take care of our character, our nature, our person. Jesus, the only one. He's Almighty God, and he's the only one that can deal with us in a way that will cure us. Religion, and we find that the disciples couldn't do anything for this man, this young man. We find in another instance there was a lady that had an issue of blood, and she suffered much by many doctors and still was in the same condition. And we can look at that and say, oh, this religious guy came along and he tried to do something, and this religious guy came along and he tried to do something, and this religious guy came along and he tried to do something, and she's worse off than she was because of the religious guys. But when the Lord dealt with it, she was healed instantly, cured, because he is the only one that God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, has ever authorized to take care of this problem. The Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the people that know that say amen, because that's all that could happen. So the Lord rebuked the devil. I don't understand all I know about that, but I know this. The person that Jesus dealt with, this young man Jesus dealt with, was cured at that moment. He had power over all that was withholding that young man and causing him to do what he was doing. All of that nature that he had, that uncontrollable, I just can't comprehend the thought that he enjoyed falling into the fire, can you? I cannot comprehend the thought that he would enjoy falling into the water. Can you? But here we have someone that took care of the problem, and it was not by a vote of the young man. It was not even by a vote of his father. It was by the perfect mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that he met him that day on that road on purpose. Jesus rebuked him. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very moment. What a blessing it is to be set free. The Apostle Paul was in prison many times, and he was freer than the people that were keeping him. Those soldiers that were over him, he was freer than they were. They were yet in their sins. The Apostle Paul shares with us much as he's led by the Holy Spirit to talk to us, talk to the church, talk to us individually as the Holy Spirit gave him utterance to share what it is to be free in Christ, to be shed of all that was held against us, because he was going to pay the full price when he endured our sin on the cross. The lies of religion have been taken away. How blessed it is to be able to say, I'm not going to be turned by every wind of doctrine. He has set me on a path. He has drawn me by his cords of love. He says, hold fast. And we say, how in the world can I hold fast? He grips us with his almighty hands, and he holds us fast. The glory of self-righteousness is banished. Oh, how pitiful we are in our own state when we think by our own works we can approach an almighty God and he's not going to have anything to do with that, and then realize that he has given us his imputed righteousness, and we stand in awe that the work has been done. The pride of works is thrown aside. There's nothing in our works. Oh, I'm just so thankful for that passage of Scripture that we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Because without the Lord Jesus, we have nothing. There is no work we could perform, even in our saved condition. And the disciples, verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart. That's a good thing. To go to the Lord Jesus apart from everyone else. Now that may be right here. But they went to the Lord Jesus. Disciples went to the Lord Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus reminds them of mercy and grace. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, your feebleness, your inability as a human being to do this kind of work, salvations of the Lord, deliverances of the Lord, you have no ability. Just keep that in mind. Your unbelief. Verily I say unto you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence and to yonder place, and ye shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. The Lord Jesus assures us that these things can only be dealt with by Almighty God. It is wonderful to have prayer, and it's wonderful to have fasting before God, but you shouldn't know that I'm fasting, and I shouldn't know if you're fasting. But this wonderful experience that this man had when he came down and met the Lord Jesus Christ, bowed down at his feet and said, have mercy on my son who has greatly vexed. This is his problem. And the Lord Jesus dealt with it in such a wonderful way. If you turn with me over to the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, we have these words that the Lord used there at that time with that person. He said, he cast out that demon. And here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, the scriptures say, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning for this purpose. You see that word? for this purpose. For the purpose we just witnessed here. I used to have people tell me that if they saw the Noah's Ark, they'd believe. No. If you saw Noah's Ark, you wouldn't believe. It's not by sight. We find that if we'll not believe Moses and the prophets, we'd not believe though one rose from the dead. So on purpose. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "He, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." All the sin that God saw in all his people has been taken care of completely and thoroughly by the blood of Christ on the cross. Our sin was imputed to him. His righteousness is imputed to us. And we stand before him as clean, as pure, as righteous this very moment as we will ever be. And then if you'll turn with me to the book of Hebrews, back to the book of Hebrews for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he," the Lord Jesus, "also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power over death," that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." The old preacher said, "I'm not afraid of dying. I'm just a little concerned on how it's going to happen." God's people are not afraid of dying. He's taken away that fear. But am I going to go home in my sleep, or am I going to go home in a train wreck? That's the issue. What happened to that young man? Nothing else is said in Scripture about this young man that was cured of his lunacy. Many commentators say it was, oh, that was just that terrible thing that he had. He was cured of a problem that he had from birth, just like we're cured of a problem that we have from birth, and that is our sin. And the Savior took care of it, just like he takes care of it today. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised to save everyone that he died for on the cross, and he's in the process of doing that, and he may be doing that tonight. And I know this, that the very last sheep that's ever saved, this thing is going to be wrapped up quickly. We're going to see him as he is. We'll be in his presence. But until that time, he is going to endure with this. The systems of government, the peoples, the heartache, the pain, the suffering, until the very last one is saved. And then all will be cured of that dreadful disease that was passed on to us by birth from our parents and birth from their parents down through the ages to us from Adam. And God will take care of it all. And there will be a meeting of God's people that he has purchased with his own blood. And there won't even be a thought of being a lunatic.